Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Lives and making the Word of God come alive to us. We want that. We want to feed on your Word tonight and cause it to be real and quickened, made alive to us. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, just before we get into that, there's this guy, he goes into the emergency room, and I mean, this guy, he's just messed up. He's got mashed potatoes jammed in one ear, green beans in the other, and what appears to be part of an acorn squashed up his nose. And he asks the doctor, he says, what in the world is wrong with me? And the doctor says, well, of course, I'll have to run some tests, but at first observation, it's apparent you're not eating right. Come on.
That was funny. I'm going to tell my doctor that.
It's bad when they have to say that's funny, you know. But anyway, okay, so several months ago, I taught a series, that a four-week series on the Holy Spirit, and I thought, you know, the Father and the Son deserve some time in that. And so I thought I would teach a four-part series on the other two parts of the Trinity, the Father and the Son. And tonight, we're going to look at the first part of God, Abba, Father. This it really is, and I pray, I know that a lot of you have been in church for a while. Some of you maybe not a long time, but others of us, we've been in church for a good long while. But I am telling you, this class has really hit me, and you'll see during the class, it's just critical that we have an understanding of God. God help us to know who He is and who He is to us. I'm going to refer to Romans chapter 8:15 a number of times. I'm going to bring it in. It's a key verse. It's the key verse of this two-part series on the Father, and so important to us. And so we're going to do two parts on the Father and two parts on the Son, or Jesus. And so this is the first part. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, when Jesus came to earth, one of his biggest purposes was to reveal God as Father. And I've always liked what he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." God knows we need that these days, don't we? Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm going to pause just for a moment and make a brief comment. I may be preaching a message out of just this portion of Scripture soon. I was in a conference in Denver several weeks ago, and before I preached, I had this portion of Scripture hit me, and so I kind of led my message. It wasn't on this, but the yoke. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we are, and a lot of us do at times, I know I have, if we are laboring under a heavy burden or yoke, as Jesus puts it, then it's not God. It's the inspiration that hit me while I was at this, it's a lying yoke. See, there are lots of people that are, and I'm pausing because I realize I'm kind of going off on a rabbit trail, and I don't like doing that, but I'm doing it, aren't I? So just tell me, go ahead. Okay, I will, since you said, ask me to. So that yoke, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And if it's a heavy burden on us, serving God, living for God, trying to, then it's a lying yoke. It's and it's the anointing. Old Testament says the anointing breaks the yoke. And so the Holy Spirit brings an anointing that breaks that yoke. And so I want to encourage, well, let's pause for a moment, and this will be the first prayer time. And let's just see God break that yoke. If you're under a heavy burden, and I know there can be things in life that burden us down, weigh us down, but especially as far as serving God, and if it just feels like, you know, it just cumbersome, burdensome, the things of God, it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. It's a lie. You see, because we are yoked together with Him. My yoke, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He bears the burden for us. There is a burden involved in it, but it's easy and light. Get it? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just pray over us tonight and those that are viewing online. If there's a heavy yoke upon them from life, circumstances, or even the ideas of serving you or burdening, living under the burden of the Christian life, you came to set us free. And that yoke, that lying yoke, I speak against in Jesus' name, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaking that yoke, Lord, causing us to live under your yoke, which is easy and your burden is light. We thank you for it in your name. Amen. Okay, back to the class. We know we can come to him when we're burdened and heavy laden because he says, come to me, right? But this is where, and this ties into our class tonight, just the verse before that, in Matthew 11, verse 27, this is so cool. Jesus says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one comes to the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then he says what? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And so Jesus' purpose in coming was to reveal the Father to us. And so he tells us, come to him. And what happens when we come to him is he will reveal the Father. That word reveal means to uncover or unveil. Up until the time that Jesus spoke, God seemed to be mostly intimidating to people. He was known as Lord or Yahweh, and he is still Lord today, isn't he? But when Jesus came, it was to reveal him, God, in a closer, more intimate, and personal way as Father. And God wants us to be close and open with him. He doesn't want to be a distant God from us. He wants to be really close, real close. In fact, so close he comes to live inside us, right? I want you to tell yourself he wants to be close to me. Now, this is the way our relationship is meant to be with him, close. And it was that way in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? God would come in the cool of the day. They would talk and fellowship together. Now, I've always thought of this. Wouldn't it be cool to know what they talked about? I don't know, and this is just speculation. This is the Wilson speaking. But I don't really think that it was all just heavy revies that were spoken between God and Adam and Eve as they shared in the cool of the day. I don't think there was just all this super deep, complicated conversation. I think, and this again, this is just speculation, but I think that a lot of it was just like a dad hanging out with his kids. And I can just imagine the father saying, well, how's your day going? And Adam saying, well, just another beautiful day in paradise. And it was. And we don't know all that they talked about, but the feeling that we get is that it was close, friendly, and intimate. And that's what God wants with us. That's what our hearts cry out for, isn't it? We want and see that. You know why our hearts cry out for that? Because God put that desire in us. We are never sad. You know, when I got saved, it was such a revelation because I realized, man, this is why I felt weird my whole life. It wasn't that I was just weird. I was, but it wasn't just that. It was, I always felt like something was missing. Like I was something somewhere. I was just missing it in my life. And I was. The whole point and purpose of my life, I was missing it. But when I got saved, I realized this is what I've been missing, looking for my whole life. And it's Him. God puts that into our hearts. He wants to be close. And if we're going to have a really good prayer life, this is one of the most important things for us to know, and that is that He wants to be close. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, this is Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. It says, "Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father.'" Not, omnipotent God, I cower before You, but Father. This is the first statement and maybe the most important lesson that Jesus gave when He taught on how to pray. His message, it was clear, it was revealing, and actually pretty shocking to His audience, to these disciples, when He said, "When you pray, say, Our Father." But God wants to be close with us. He wants our relationship to be like kids to their dads. And that's what Romans 8:15 is pointing out. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage," again, to fear, "but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Many of you know, and this term Abba is the word that little kids use for their dads. It was like us saying, Daddy. God wants to be close, and He wants us to know that we can come to Him as Dad. I used to call my dad Daddy when I was younger. When I got older and more, stupid, I called him Dad. But anyway, God wants us to have that closeness with Him. This is the way it was in the beginning before Adam and Eve sinned and things got messed up. Look at Genesis 2, verse 25. This is a pretty revealing verse. "And they," Adam and Eve, "were both naked," the man and his wife, "and were not ashamed." Adam and Eve were naked. Somebody say, yikes. Now, we can read that as exposed, open, nothing covered, and vulnerable in their relationship with each other and God. And that's the way it's meant to be today. Not necessarily with each other. In other words, it's good that we all came clothed tonight. Thank you. The Bible encourages modest dress, but listen, as we come before God, we can come to Him fully exposed and completely open. We really have to know this, and we may as well come before Him completely exposed and completely open, because He sees everything anyway. Now, I was thinking about, can you imagine how ridiculous it must have looked as Adam and Eve come out of the bushes and they've sewn fig leaves together? And if it were not so tragic, I can almost imagine God laughing, and say, "Come on, seriously? You think you're covering up with that?" And so the leaves didn't cover, did they? God sees everything. And nothing that we do covers us from God's ability to see everything. You say, everything? Everything. And this can be intimidating to people, that God sees, he sees it all, knows it all. It's kind of what makes him God, part of it, right? Okay, getting a little quiet tonight, but that's all right. We're moving on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. This is one of those verses that can make people kind of a little quiet. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now say yikes again. Okay, so this is verse 13. I'm going to carry on in just a moment here, but we don't have to be afraid. Just because God sees it all, knows it all, we don't have to be afraid. God didn't blast Adam and Eve in the Old Testament. What he did is after they had sinned, he came, they revealed themselves to God, and they said, they fessed up, and he covered them, didn't he? He killed an animal and covered them with the skins. For those who receive Jesus Christ in the New Testament, God has covered us with the blood of his son, Jesus. And because of that, thank God, we don't have to be afraid of coming to him and opening up. We ought to be able to feel that we can come to him at any time about anything, no matter what it is, because he's Abba Father, isn't he? Again, Romans 8, verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have to have the confidence that we can come to him at any time with anything. He knows everything anyway, right? And, if we messed up in our lives and done something that we know is not pleasing, it's not like we're going to shock him anyway. Like we come before God and say, God, this and that. You did what? He's not shocked. He knows, doesn't he? Not only does he know, he cares. And the reason he wants for us to come to him is for our benefit, not his. He yearns for that closeness so that we can come and not just be covered over, but cleansed with the blood. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. So listen carefully, because these verses are so revealing. Verse 13, I already read. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So this one verse, it's taken by itself, can make us feel a little uncomfortable. But look what he shifts right into in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This is wonderful, because that verse says all things are naked, all things are exposed. We look at that, we can go, yikes, But he shifts right into, even though that is true, God sees everything, knows everything, don't let that hinder us from coming to him or feeling like we have to cover up or something we don't need to cover up. We should not cover up for whatever it is. Come to him. Come to him. Let us come, therefore, boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now tell yourself, I'm going to do that. We need to take advantage of him. And I don't mean but take advantage of his call. Jesus said he's going to reveal the Father and then says, come to me. As we come to Jesus, he reveals the Father, and he reveals him as a God that we don't have to cower in front of or be afraid of, but we come to him knowing that he sees all, knows all, loves us, cares for us, and is here to help us in whatever it may be. In our good times and our bad times, we need to come to him, right? Okay, Jesus wants us to come to him so he can reveal the Father to us. One more time, Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Now this part really moves me in this lesson. At the times of greatest need in our lives, we need to know God as Abba, Father. Now, I mentioned earlier when Jesus came, it was to reveal God as Father. Jesus had the greatest struggle in his life just before he was taken to be beaten and crucified. We can't even imagine what it was like for him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and the stress and pressure. He knew what was before him. Remember, there was a time where he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared to him and told him, talked about what he was going to experience. Things, and this is kind of wild. Jesus was God, fully man, but it appears that there were things that became more clear to him as he was in the God-man, and Moses and Elijah, they're revealing things to him about his suffering. He knows what's ahead of him, and he is in great turmoil. He's wrestling. He's struggling. He isn't vacillating in what he's going to do. He just knows what's ahead of him. It's the greatest need of his life. Listen, we get insight into how to come to God at our times of great need, seeing how he prayed. And this is how he prayed. This is awesome to me. And he said, what? Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. As Jesus is praying, he prays, Abba, Father. And it's just like he was saying, Daddy or Father. Now, I've mentioned before, most of us have heard, a lot of us have heard that Abba is the equivalent, again, about Daddy or that. It was the word that a toddler would have used in Israel for father. But when kids grew older and were school age, they would call their father a benu, which is a more formal term of the word father. So school-aged or grown-ups wouldn't refer to their dads as Abba because it's what little kids called their dads. And this is what hit me. As Jesus is praying during the most difficult time in his life, he calls his heavenly Father Abba. Abba, Father. And he wants us to know that when we come to God, it's not as this formal father figure, but as our dad, our daddy. We have to know that we can come to him at any time for anything. I want you to tell yourself, at any time for anything. We can come to him for our needs. He says, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So we come to him with our needs. If we've blown it and we need forgiveness, we shouldn't pull back or try to cover up. He said, forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We come to him. We don't have to be afraid of him rejecting us. Why? Because he's Abba Father. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Now, in the next week class, I'm going to look more in depth at this next point, but I want to mention it before we close because it's so important. Because God is Abba Father, we can be free of fear. And when I say free of fear, I'm talking about fear of anything. When we get to know God as Father more deeply, it will set us free from fear. Fear of what's going to happen in the future, fear of diminishing health, fear of what's going to happen to the kids, or fear of our whether God's going to be there for us in the future. Whatever that fear, whatever that anxiety or worry, fear about whether we're going to have enough to live on, whatever it might be, when we know him more deeply and truly as he is, Abba Father, then it'll set us free from fear. And the reality is, I know that as I say that, a lot of us are kind of introspecting and saying, well, man, I haven't got there yet. Don't beat yourself up because you have worried. Some of you today have had something you're worried about. How dare you? I can't believe it. No. We are people. We're human. We have needs. That's why he says, come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Those words, casting all our cares upon him, because what? He cares for us. And so he understands, he knows us, but he wants us to come to him so that we can be freed of that fear. Now, I want you to say this with me. I don't have to be afraid of anything because God is my Father. He is. We don't have to be afraid because he's our Father. And again, you may be thinking about things that you are worried about, concerned about, things that are bothering you. And this is why it's so important for us to get to know Abba Father better. The better we know him, the better we can drive fear or allow him to drive fear out of our lives. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God's perfect love drives out fear. Our love, I don't know if this side of eternity, our love's never going to be absolutely perfect. But the word perfect here really means complete. We can become more complete in our understanding of his love for us. And when we are, it drives out fear. Why? Because we know God's going to help us. And whatever it is that comes in our life, God, our Father, is there to help us. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of sickness. We don't have to be afraid of whether our needs are going to be met, of whether we're loved or whether we are accepted, or the fear of being alone, because he's Abba Father. Again, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. See, our understanding of Abba Father, that closeness, breaks the bondage of fear. Vine's Greek dictionary says the word bondage that's used here refers to the fallen condition of man, which makes him dread God. God doesn't want us to dread him or to be afraid of him. He's our dad, and as a dad, he's a good dad. He's a good dad. Tell yourself, you're a good father. Now, I mentioned that Abba is the equivalent of saying daddy. It was the word that a toddler used in Israel for his father. Now, we are all adults. But we can still feel like little kids sometimes when it comes to fear. Right? We can feel afraid of some very real things, of health issues, or not having enough to live on, or what the future holds for us, or those things. And so there are things that are very real that can make us afraid. There are also some things that aren't real yet, imaginary things that we may be afraid of. When I was a kid, I had a good home life. My parents were good providers. I had a good dad. I had a good mom. Two sisters that were they're mostly good. My older sister and I, you'd have to know, we just fought like cats and dogs. But we down deep, way down deep, she loved me. Yeah, we've got a great relationship now. Helps to grow up in some things, doesn't it? But anyway, as a kid, I had a good home life. I had parents that, I really shouldn't have been afraid. But as a kid, I was tormented by things, and I really afraid at night. I think we might have had some lingering demons in that house. I don't know. Anyway, but I was afraid of the boogeyman when I was a kid. He never showed up. I never saw him. But it didn't keep me from being freaked out by him. Now, we grow up, we get older. We may not be afraid of the boogeyman anymore, but there can be imaginary things. They haven't happened, they haven't showed up, probably will never happen, and yet they can make us afraid. And it's almost like we're little kids and still afraid of the dark sometimes and things that go bump in the night. So this is why it's important for us to know God as Father, because it sets us free from fear. Amen. We can have a deep and abiding sense that our Heavenly Father, no matter what life brings our way, He's going to help us. Amen. And there are those of us that have been serving God long enough, we have walked through some things with God. I know in my own life, I have passed through several things after giving my life to Christ that I would have thought I just couldn't deal with that. I wouldn't be able to deal with that. And I know that a lot of you have too. We can't project ourselves into those kind of situations. But I can tell you this. There was a time I was living in Africa as a missionary. And I had some things going on there that were crushing. And I remember going out. I stood in the garden where I used to pray with vegetables growing around. And I was just crying out to God. And I sensed the presence of Abba Father coming over me. And as I was just crying out, I was literally crying and crying out to God. I said, God, as long as... And I sensed His presence. And I told the Lord, I said, as long as you're with me, I'll be all right. Yeah. And I was. Mm-hmm. Now, I went through, there was about a year and a half, 2 years, that I went through some things that I never thought I would face. But God walked me through. And you know what? God turned a page in my life. Right. And so, for us, we don't have to be afraid of what is ahead of us in life. God's got a lot of great things. I mean, there may be some things that happen in our lives that we just think, God, how can I face this? He will bring us through all of these things because He's a good dad. But we shouldn't look just at the negative and think, well, you know, I've just got... we need to know God's got great things ahead for us. He's got such great promises that He's given us. We need to look with expectation, not fear of the future, but look at the future with... my big word now is hope.
Right.
Hope, biblical hope, a confident expectation of good from God. We need to live with that and know that. And we can have that as long as we understand who God is. He's our Father. The worst that life can throw our way, God, our Father, helps us in the midst of, and the worst of fears of life, he can help us overcome. Amen. And I want to close with one of these thoughts here. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, this is probably the worst fear that most people have. Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise shared in the same, talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is one of those things that so many people are afraid of. You know, what's going to happen? As believers, as children of the living God, we don't have to fear death. Amen. Now, I know it's a great unknown to us. And it's not so much dying that I don't like the idea of dying. I just want to go to bed some night and have God just turn off the switch, truthfully. And the reality is Cindy kind of wants to go at the same time, you know. And so we go to bed one night and then God just says, okay. And the process. But as believers, we don't have to fear death. I mean, we've got so much. I talk about in this life, things that God has prepared for us, things that are beyond our understanding, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It hasn't entered into our hearts, the things God has prepared for us who love him. But he reveals them to us through his Spirit. That's what the Word says, isn't it? And so God's got great things in this life, but hey, this life, and Paul said, if this is all there is, and I'm paraphrasing, but God help us. We're of all men most miserable, he says. If this is all there is, this is not even close to all there is. And there are times, and I've got a memorial service coming up the weekend after next, a couple that used to come to church here, they died within a week of each other. I'm doing their memorial service for them. And, there's part of me that envies somebody that's a believer that goes on. Because, I mean, this, you know, right? It's like, man, they're set. I mean, like, really set. And so we need to have that assurance and confidence not to fear death, not to be afraid of anything. Why? Because our God is Abba, Father. You and I can come to him at any time for anything. He is wonderful. Amen. He's too good to be true, and yet he is. Amen. He's too good to be true, but he is. Okay. Say, I got it. Okay. Next week, we're going to look together at Abba, Father, and especially concerning, I'm going to break it down a little more and how he frees us from fear. Let's pray this, confess this together. If you'd bow your head and close your eyes, I'll lead you in this prayer and confession. If you just pray this out with me aloud, and those who are viewing or listening online, just pray this out with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing the Father to me. I believe that God loves me and wants to be close to me because he is Father. Help me to understand him more intimately in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now let me just pray over us real quick and those who are viewing online. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us through Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and your willingness to come and to go through all that you did in this life to reveal the Father to us, and then ultimately the sacrifice that you made for us. We do not take it for granted. Thank you. And tonight, Holy Spirit, cause the truth of Abba, Father, to reside, to abide within our hearts. Help us to understand more fully and more deeply I take authority and dominion over all fear, whatever that fear might be. God, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your perfect love drives it out. That anxiousness, that worry, that fear must go by the name of Jesus Christ. And because you are Abba, Father, we are free from the bondage of fear. We confess it. We believe it. We hold on to it. We call it ours. Say, it's mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Appreciate you coming. Don't miss next week. It's going to be even better.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.